This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mark Ein later on this hour, he was on my podcast yesterday. I'm going to play that for you. I did ask him about the alternate uniforms, asked him about the stadium, talked a lot of tennis too. He's got probably the best field for the upcoming DC City Open in Rock Creek Park that he's had in a long time. Joining me right now, do we have Andrew? All right, good. Andrew Brandt is joining me right now, of course. Longtime executive in the NFL with the Packers. He's now the executive director of the Morad Center at Villanova. He's got a great Sunday 7 newsletter. You can find out all about all of this on X, on Twitter, at Andrew Brandt. He joins me right now. Real quickly, before I get to what I was calling you about, we just did a segment about Jaden Daniels and sort of asking the question, have we gotten a little bit carried away? Have we crowned him a little bit too early after one season? Because it was debatably and by many advanced numbers, the greatest rookie season a rookie quarterback's ever had. You were a longtime front office person and you watch a lot of quarterback play. Have we gotten ahead of our skis calling Jaden Daniels an elite quarterback, a top five-ish quarterback right now?
Good to be with you, Kevin. I mean, I'm obviously the opposite from my experience in the Green Bay Packers, where we had apprentice quarterbacks that didn't see the field for 3 years.
Right.
Unbelievable. In this day and age, because you try to get young quarterbacks, especially first round, on the field first year, if not first game. Yeah, I mean, I think we're all going to overreact to a strong performance by a rookie quarterback. The obvious question is, can he keep it up? And even if there's not total ascension beyond this, this is high-level quarterback play. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's natural. There's nothing more exciting in the NFL than a young quarterback. And from a financial perspective, it's the best thing going in sports. We have someone making $6, $7 million average compared to their peers making $50, $60 million. So you can build around that, as the Commanders have done, and adding offensive linemen and adding Debo and seeing what they're going to do with McLaurin. So they have a way to stagger this. And they got one more year of this, which is amazing. So they'll have 3 years of quarterback play at a staggeringly low rate.
Yeah, you know, the first time they can pay him is in the offseason after the 2027 season. You follow this stuff. I would guess right now the odds are stacked heavily in favor of Jaden Daniels in the winter or spring of 2027 getting the largest contract in the history of the sport at that time.
Yeah, if we're handicapping it right now, you'd have to say that. A lot can happen between now and then.
Sure.
But again, to my point, if he's making, say, $70 million then, you know, say it's $70 million over five, He's made $30 million over four. So that's, I'm saying $30 million total over four. So that's what, $7, $8 million a year, you know, combined with $70 million a year, it's still going to be a value, right? Is what I'm trying to say is, like, even after 2 years of his extension contract, he's still going to be a great value for the last 5 years if we're spinning this ahead.
You know, I was just thinking in having you on, because you've dealt with stadiums. You follow it now, you know, yeah, for your role as the executive director at the Morad Center at Villanova. Are you following the RFK deal situation down here? You're from here. I'm assuming you're paying attention to it at least a little bit.
Well, this is what happens. I think we talked about this last time I was on, Kevin. You get this great announcement. You have the president, you have Roger Goodell, you have the Josh Harris, you have Mayor Bowser. Everybody's excited. It's such a great event. You have the big headlines. And then the real work starts, right? Are you going to get this passed? Where's the money coming from? What taxes? What funds? What public subsidy is this coming from? And all the opposition. Why are we subsidizing billionaires? What about schools and libraries and homeless and shelters? Of course you're going to get that. So I don't know what to say about it other than the history shows, and I've done a lot of writing and research on this, is that at the end of the day, it passes. The public funds these billionaires. I know everyone hates it, but it happens. Except for SoFi Stadium and Gillette Stadium in Boston, basically that's what happens. And in recent times, we just had it in Cleveland. We recently had it in Jacksonville. Of course, we had it in Buffalo and Tennessee and Nevada a few years ago. I think it's going to happen because I think at the end of the day, even if there's no true threat to move, no one wants to be the people that stop public funding of a stadium.
Yeah. We are talking to Andrew Brandt. All right. To the reason that I reached out to you, the other day you tweeted out off a Ross Dellinger story, 82% of all D1 schools opted into the settlement, which is the House settlement, for, you know, a $20.5 million salary cap coming off, you know, the conference revenues. And you wrote, wow, sports are truly the storefront of these universities. So what's changed more than anything else with this House settlement?
Well, a lot of unpacking here. As people probably know by now, July 1st, 2 days ago, was the first day in the history of college sports that schools can pay directly. Not collectives, not boosters, not bagmen, not under the table, not to the mom, to the friend, to the uncle. It is direct payments. And again, full disclosure, I'm a consultant now in this space a little bit. I consult for Louisville Athletics. I wrote a contract the past several months between the school and the athletes directly. So it's direct. There's no shenanigans anymore. So this is happening, and there'll be a revenue share cap of $20.5 million for all sports, and people have to manage the cap and do contracts just like pro sports. My point is that $20.5 million sounds like a lot. You don't have to spend that amount, but you can now spend if you opt in. In other words, pay your athletes directly. If you don't opt in, you're in the old system. If the athletes are going to get paid, it's going to be through other sources besides the school. But that number was staggering to me because we focus on the big power conferences. This is a lot more than the power conference.
Right.
This is mid-majors, maybe low majors, maybe even lower than that. And again, they're not going to pay $20 million, a lot of these schools, but they're going to pay. And my point was just like we're making the point about the Commanders. At the end of the day, sports rules. And I've seen this time and time again. You talk about we need money for X, Y, Z. But listen, your chemistry department is not going to draw a lot of publicity or students or admissions or donors. It's just not. Your sports department is. It's just the way we are in this world, and especially in college because that's exactly the phrase I use. They're the storefront.
Yeah.
You look at University of Maryland, you look at Georgetown, any school, yes, the academics is great and important and definitely something for alumni to talk about. But what's the sports doing? That's what people know these schools for. People don't know Alabama for their academics. Now, Duke, a Virginia, a Stanford, I get it. But even with that, they talk about the sports teams.
Well, look, the number of applicants goes up exponentially when a team does well in the NCAA tournament or the college football playoff. I mean, sports, yes, are that's the exposure for a university more so than anything else. I know you're tight on time. Max just told me that. I just wanted to ask this as it relates to the salary cap, because to me, this is the most interesting thing. By the way, 82.1% is beyond the Power Four. That is surprising to me.
Yeah.
But after they've said, all right, 70% is going to football, 20% is going to basketball, 5% to women's basketball, and then 5% to everything else. Let's just take 70% as a round number of 20 million, 14 million bucks to football. How will they determine who gets what? And will those players have to sign contracts?
Yes, I think the determination, some of these schools, and this is pretty common now, are hiring GMs. You talk about Mike Lombardi at North Carolina.
Yep.
A lot of NFL experience, Jim Nagy at Oklahoma football. And they're doing exactly what you do in the NFL. Like, what's our allocation at quarterback, at D-line, at shutdown corner? Are we going to spend a lot there? What are we doing at receiver? How much are we spending allocating that number? And a lot of what I do in my consulting is advising on that, too. And sometimes it's like, let's hold our powder for next year because we think we can get this recruit. Just like they say in pro sports, we think we can get a free agent that's going to cost a lot of money. And then, you know, schools have to decide. Some schools are going to be a little more basketball heavy. So instead of a $14 million football roster, it'll be a 10-11 and basketball.
Right, like Villanova.
$6 million roster. Yeah. Well, Villanova is separate because Big East doesn't have big-time football. So theoretically, Big East schools can spend $15, $18 million on basketball. Now,
right.
None are, but I would think St. John's is going to have a $10 to $11, $12 million basketball roster. So it's just something that people have to get used to. I know it's hard to hear sometimes, millions of dollars for college athletes, but that's where we are. I'll say this, you know, the pendulum has truly swung. And you mentioned contracts. Yes, they have contracts, but trying to get these guys to sign more than 1 year is a tough sell because they've got transfer rights every year, and schools don't want to be locked into two-year deals because they know they'll get better transfers if they want. So it's all one-year deals right now, and that's working for the players and the schools. I know it's tough for fans because you're seeing a new team every year in all these sports. Maybe the pendulum will swing some more towards the middle soon.
And lastly, NIL is still there, right? But it's going to be more regulated?
Yeah. You can do third-party NIL beyond the school contracts. Anything over $600 has to go to something called the College Sports Commission for Fair Market Value Analysis, to try to get rid of the, hey, show up at birthday party, get a envelope for $100,000. It's going to try to get rid of that. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, they're going to sue, and that'll go away quickly. Well, there's arbitration built in, so there won't be lawsuits. But if a player is said dinged and says you can't do that deal, there's an arbitration process. Listen, the NCAA gets a lot of flack. I think they're doing the best they can. Yes. Is there going to be cheating? Yes. Is there going to be attempted cheating? Yes. Are there going to be rosters, are teams, schools spending not $20 million, but $40 million? Because 20 of it will be this supplemental NIL? Perhaps. But they're doing the best they can to try to level this playing field.
Thanks for doing this. Good to catch up. Go ahead and run, and we'll catch up down the road. Thanks, Andrew.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Take care.
Yep, Andrew Brandt, everybody, at Andrew Brandt on X on Twitter. Yeah, $20.5 million is a salary cap for you know, Power Four schools and beyond that. You know, at the Power Four schools in the SEC, Big 12, Big 10, 70 to 75% of that is going to football, because that's where most of the money is coming from the football TV deals. And then, you know, the next 15 to 20% is going to go to men's basketball. And then there's going to be like 5 to 10% max divvied up among, you know, depending on the school. They're, you know, in the SEC, you've got baseball, you know, in the, you know, Big Ten, and certainly the East Coast Big Ten schools, you've got lacrosse, you've got women's basketball. And then for a football team that's got 90 players on it, some aren't going to make any money. Now, that's been happening anyway. But you're going to have this salary cap. There's not going to be any minimum. There's no salary minimum for players. Some players will be playing and won't be making any money until they've proven themselves. And what we didn't get into is, with contracts rather than independent contractors, what kind of, you know, sort of organization will come about, you know, meaning union. And that, I don't think anybody wants, and perhaps not even on either side. And then the NIL piece, yes, it's more regulated, but it's still there. The collectives are still there. But he said, what did he say, $600, anything above that has to go to some sort of, you know, regulatory group that will determine fair market value, whether or not what the player is doing for that amount over $600, if it's appropriate. So, yeah, you won't get the, yeah, if you come here and play, all you got to do is sign autographs at the car dealership once and we're paying you $1 million for the year. So we'll see how that shakes out. Because in places within the Power Four conferences, Ohio State, Texas, Bama, I mean, you know, we know the list, they're still going to have massive NIL collectives that will be able to, you know, fund football beyond the salary cap, the 20.5 or 75% of that, 70% of that. And so there will still be advantages there, even though there is a cap. And one of the things I've learned by reading about this is, even though there is a salary cap, a lot of schools won't spend up through that salary cap because they're not going to be able to afford to do it. Anyway, interesting. You know, we talked about this last year. The players in college sports have had something that no athletes have had ever in the history of sports. They have had annual, and in some cases almost biannual, unrestricted free agency. And with the transfer pool, it's just created absolute bedlam in terms of movement. And at the same time, when the games start, you know, college football, Labor Day weekend, you know, and high noon on Fox, Texas with Arch Manning at Ohio State, I get wrapped up into the games and I forget about all this. Because it is still, especially with football, it's still part of this incredible, you know, built-in advantage over every other sport. This rhythm and this scheduled nature of the fall into winter, weekends, and a limited number of games. And how important and how precious each one of those games are. I mean, even with NIL and all the transfers over the last couple of years, I don't think I have enjoyed college football any less. College basketball, you get to the tournament, and let's face it, college basketball has become a very much so a one-month out-of-the-calendar sport, especially at football schools. But still, we get to the tournament. It's the tournament, man. Doesn't matter that you don't recognize or haven't recognized a lot of the players on the teams. For me, anyway, the thing that's impacted my viewing of college sports more than anything else, and we're now 20 years in the making on this, is all of the conference reshuffling. That's the thing that I think hurts long-time devoted college sports fans. Because, you know, I can only speak for myself, being in the ACC all those years, and you develop that history, the tradition, the rivalries, and then, you know, 10 years now in the Big Ten, and we don't have a rivalry in any sport. Mark Ein will join me next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Mark Ein joins me right now. Of course, Mark is part of our football team's ownership group. Mark was instrumental in helping Josh Harris put together the team and the group of limited partners that bought the team nearly 2 years ago. We're coming up on the two-year anniversary of the sale of the team. Mark is a local. He's a born and raised Washingtonian, grew up in Chevy Chase, went to BCC, went to Wharton after that, I think Harvard Business School after that. I'm not sure. I've got all of your degrees here, but Mark is a pretty smart guy and has been one of the region's most impactful entrepreneurs for over three decades. He is also the owner and has been for quite some time now of the very successful City Open tennis tournament, which begins 2 weeks from Saturday with qualifying play down in Rock Creek Park. We'll get to the tennis in a moment because I want to talk some tennis with you, and I know you love talking tennis, but it's coming up on 2 years. I mean, late July 2023, when that deal finally got done. And I know, because you've told me this before, that this was a deal that was never done until it actually was done. Take me back 2 years ago and give me a story or a memory or two of those final weeks leading up to the sale.
My biggest memory of 2 years ago right now is how tired I was. How tired we all were. It was a really, really long seven month process that was kind of 24/7. Every night we would do Zooms, kind of starting at 10. On a good day, they'd end at midnight. They often went to 1 a.m., sometimes later, just reviewing everything that we had to do and the issues that came up. And it was not easy, but it was worth it. It was totally worth it, especially as we sit here now 2 years later and just see how energized our community is and how much the fans are back in love with their franchise. It made all that hard work really worth it.
I'm pretty sure I've asked you this before, but was there a moment, I forget if it was Josh who mentioned this or someone else who mentioned it. It may have been you, and sorry if I'm being repetitive, but that there was a moment very late in the process before Snyder finally, you know, officially accepted the deal, signed the term sheet, whatever it was at the very end, where it looked like you guys weren't going to get the team, that he had changed his mind. Is that true?
I mean, I think there was lots of moments through the process, even fairly deep in the process, where I don't know if it was him changing his mind, but it was more just at an impasse on something significant. And it was not a certainty that it would happen. That happened a number of times and deep into the process. Those are when you test, you know, those are when you test yourself. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about tennis. I went through the same thing, kind of saving the tennis tournament for our community because it was going to get bought and moved. And it was the same thing. You know, you go into these things and think this isn't something important. This is something impactful, something I want to do. But they're never ever easy. And both of them actually were quite challenging at moments.
All right, let's talk some tennis. The Mubadala City DC Open gets underway 2 weeks from Saturday with qualifying and then 2 weeks from this coming Monday with the main draw. It's become a staple event in this town during the month of July and a staple on the ATP and WTA, both the men's and the women's summer circuit. You know, I was checking out the field that you have so far announced on the website. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this seems to me to be one of the best, deepest, and maybe biggest name fields you've ever had.
I think in terms of depth and breadth, it's, at least in any recent memory and anyone who's followed the tournament, I think it's the best. We have seven top 10 players across so far. In what we've announced, seven top 10 players across both tours, the top nine American men, five former Grand Slam champions, two former number ones, and then just some of the players that don't qualify for what I just said, but people love to see, like Nick Kyrgios and Gael Monfils and Kei Nishikori. And then the other thing, Kevin, that's happening is, for people following Wimbledon, is there's a lot of early upsets of top players, and we've been getting a steady stream of calls of players who are now saying, I actually want to seriously think about coming to D.C. So I'm pretty sure you're going to see some additional pretty significant names added to that list here.
How have you made that happen when you and I both know there was a period of time where it wasn't the best of dates? The weather was always considered for many players to be brutally hot and not worth it. What changed?
I'd love to take credit for we changed the weather. but I think that, that's obviously a given. Look, as you said, you were a ball kid. I was a ball kid. Then I was a fan. I came every year. When I came as a fan, I was frustrated because I knew this is a really important tournament. It was the only ATP 500 in America. It was one of the big tournaments in the world. But the fan experience just was not very good. And, if you weren't in the VIP tent, there was nowhere indoor or air conditioned to go.
Right.
The food was served by the same vendor who does the concessions in the park, which, are fine for the basics, but not what you want when you're going to be out there all day and coming every day. And I'd say the same thing happened was the same general experience for the players. And so the biggest thing we did was just make a complete commitment to transform the experience for everyone who touches the event, starting with fans, second players, also sponsors and media even. Because in the end of the day, the thing about a tennis tournament, it's not 1-2-hour game. It's a week, and if you give people a good experience, they're going to come 5, 6, 7 hours, and they'll come back day in and day out. And if you're a player, you're spending 5, 6, 7 hours. If you're covering the event, you are. And I really feel like you have a real responsibility to make it great, and we have. Obviously, now there's all kinds of amazing venues, indoor air conditioned. There's a tequila bar, a grill, a frosé terrace overlooking the side courts. We have This year we have 7 Michelin star chefs, and then Ben's Chili Bowl and Duke's Groceries and King Street, always like the best of D.C., and then fun drinks. And so what's happened, Kevin, is obviously you see it on the player side. It has now become an event that people really want to come to. And I'd say even off-site, we put them up in a fantastic hotel. They stay at the Salamander. They love that, being downtown. We've upgraded the transportation. And so word gets around, you know, word gets around. This is a really great event to play in. And that is just a big event. It's we also upgraded it on the women's side from a 250 to a 500. So it's the 5th biggest tournament in the United States. It's one of only 10 tournaments in the world that have men and women together at this level.
Right.
And as a result, fans and players all want to be there.
Duke's Grocery, by the way, a hell of a burger. I mean, really, really good burger. Francis Tiafoe, I mean, he played really well in Paris. He lost today in the second round at Wimbledon. What do you think he's capable of? Like, do you see him being an eventual Grand Slam champion, something, you know, we haven't had in terms of an American male since Roddick back in 2003?
I think any given tournament, Francis could win it. And you just have to look back at the U.S. Open last year. He was up 2-1 on serve against Taylor Fritz in the 4th set deep at 5-6.
Yep.
So if he holds serve, you're playing a tiebreaker to get into the finals. Obviously, I think it was against Carlos. That's tough, but Francis played Carlos really well a bunch of times. So I think any given week he can win the tournament. You know, the challenge is, and it's not just Francis, look how many upsets been at Wimbledon of top players, is the game is so deep. And if you go and you watch the players practicing, you can't tell the difference between the 50th best player in the world and the 4th. You can't. Like, on a practice court, they hit the ball the same. What the difference is what happens in the match, how you deal with pressure, and how you, if you can keep your level, not have letdowns, especially on the men's side, because if you have a little break, mental breakdown, you lose your serve, and then you lose the set, and then you're probably going to lose the match. And so a lot of it is just about that consistent week in and week out and within the matches. And Francis has proven he can do it, but it's a challenge for everyone. That's the hard part. And what makes the top guys is that they always bring that level of intensity every match, every week. But Francis certainly has the talent, ability, and desire to win a Grand Slam or any tournament he's in.
What kind of chance do you give Ben Shelton of winning a Grand Slam?
High. I mean, you can't. Someone with that serve,
yeah,
you can never bet against. He similarly was in the U.S. Open 2 years ago, you know. So he's been knocking on doors. I mean, these aren't theoretical. These guys are making the semis of Grand Slams. And with Ben's serve, I was at a bit of his match in Paris against Alcaraz. That was incredible, and that's on clay, not his best surface, and he was right there. So Ben's another one. You know, Taylor Fritz is 5 in the world, and that's one of the things about the tournament this year. You have all top 9 American men, and you've got 3 in the top, I think you have 3 in the top 10. Yeah, you do. You have Ben, Tommy Paul, and Taylor, and then right behind is Francis at 12.
Yep.
So American tennis is in a good place, and this is, I was on the board of the USTA, the U.S. Tennis Association, for 6 years, and when the whole program turned around, and the whole theory was like, you just kind of have to flood the zone and just try to get enough players in the top 10 or around the top 10, and then you just hope someone makes a breakthrough, either at a tournament or just in general. And they've done a great job. Same on the women's side. There's 3 women in the top 10. So, and Madison Keys won the Australian Open.
Yep.
So American tennis is in a good place. You know, to get to legendary icon status the way Roger, Rafa, Novak, or now Carlos or Jannik, I mean, those guys are freaks of nature, that it's very hard very hard to train that. You either bring it or you don't. And, you know, hopefully one day we'll have an American like that too.
Who's the greatest men's tennis player of all time? You get asked this, I'm sure, a lot, and I think it's a really good debate. Who's the greatest that's ever done it?
I mean, I think the greatest, if you have to, is Novak, only because he's won the most. But and then you, if there's any debate about, all, you know, previous generations of players, Novak did that when you also had Roger and Rafa. So you have to say, how many Grand Slams would he have won if he didn't have those two? I don't think Roger had the biggest impact. I mean, Novak had the biggest impact on the sport out of those three. I'd argue in different ways it's Roger and Rafa. They both did it. And then
Novak did not have the biggest impact that Nadal and Federer. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
No. I think Roger in his way brought something that captured people's imagination. Rafa did his. And then there've been other players over the years who had impact. But if you just say who's the greatest player, it's hard to argue with Novak given what he won and who he had to beat to win those events.
Do you have a favorite all-time player?
I am not going to cop out. I don't. I feel blessed. I love Rafa, and I love when he came here and got to spend a lot of time with him, a lot of time. And I just think he is unbelievable. I mean, the humility he has for what he's accomplished is extraordinary, and his kindness. It's actually amazing, a great lesson on how kind you can be off the field and how vicious you can be on. It's unbelievable. In the later years of Roger's career, I made sure to, whenever I could, see him live, because just the grace with which he played was unbelievable. And so, I love both those guys in different ways. I admire Novak a lot. He's actually a really good guy. And then, honestly, Kevin, I've been friends with Francis since he was 5 or younger, friends with the family, and I love that kid so much, and he does such an amazing job representing the DMV, representing the American dream, and I really want him to have breakthroughs. I know he wants to win DC so bad. That would be super cool, but I'm always rooting for Francis wherever he's playing.
MubadalaCityDCOpen.com for all information, including tickets. By the way, I noticed you've got Kyrgios here as a featured player. I know he's won it twice. He's not playing singles, is he, right now?
That's the plan. He's signed in. And actually, interestingly, without getting into the nuances of tennis, he has a limited number of what's called protected ranking, where you can say, I was injured, and you can use your ranking. But you only have a limited number of those. You can use your ranking before you got injured. He used one of those to enter the singles in D.C. I was texting him last week about the doubles, actually. And we all love it when Nick comes. He's won the tournament twice. He lights up the crowd. He brings so much to the game. And I'm really hoping he's here both for singles and doubles.
You know, he's excellent as an analyst. I mean, I think he's definitely, that's his future, don't you think?
Yeah, that and other things. I mean, he's obviously a big personality, and he's got a lot of really interesting points of view. And to a lot of kids, Kevin, he's the most compelling player. I mean, he is compelling to young people. And I think I agree with you. He's got a great tennis mind, and he's very authentic, and I think he's great. And then what a treat when Andre commentated.
He was excellent. It was great.
That guy's insights about the game are extraordinary. So, but we love Nick, and hopefully Nick's going to be here along with all the others. It's really going to be a memorable week. And I don't usually come on and try to talk about tickets. I will tell you, we're almost sold out. So, and I do think we're going to have more big announcements. So, the other great thing is just this event now is sold out. The last 4.5 years, it'll for sure again, and I'm just grateful for our tennis community in town. People here are incredible, and now they have the tournament they deserve.
You know, it's been a great tennis community for so many years, which you've been a big part of, and it is a great event. It's a first-class event to go to, that's for sure. By the way, I think the most, you talked about how young people like Kyrgios. I think the most dramatic week in tennis in the last few years was his second week at Wimbledon in, what year was that? Is that 2 years ago or 3 years ago now where he got to the final?
Two or three. I can't remember. Yeah, that was extraordinary. And, look, this is just personal opinion, but, Nick obviously often, he kind of goes a little off the rails. I think sometimes he thinks that's helpful for him, and maybe it's helpful for disrupt rhythm. What people forget is he played straight up and focused Nick Kyrgios tennis, and he won the first set against Djokovic.
Yeah.
He won it. And then you know, we went, got a little off the rails, and it was, you know, Novak totally kept his calm, and it kind of distracted Nick. I've often thought if he just stuck to the tennis in that match, I think he might have been able to win it. And, I mean, he won that first set. And look, when Nick Kyrgios is serving well, he just takes the racket out of him. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
I tell you, Kevin, just for tennis fans, the single greatest match, I wasn't there, I've ever seen someone play is Nick played Rafa in Cincinnati like 5 years ago, and he beat him like literally like 2-4 or 3-2. He literally like Rafa serves, and Nick is smacking it back unreturnable. Like, when that guy's on, talent. His level of talent is unmatched. Yeah.
The talent's, you know, never been in question. I mean, it's the same way. I mean, McEnroe obviously won, you know, 7 majors, right? 7 or 8. But the talent was unmistakable. The hands, all-time great hands. But it was, you know, a lot of the other stuff that got in the way. Kyrgios is similar, had a similar career without all of the majors.
Totally. I mean, yeah, you know, you're right. There's a lot of similarities there. And, you know, the interesting thing about John, who I've gotten to know, he's also a really smart guy.
Really smart.
Like, has done great in the art world. He's one of the great commentators, very versatile guy. When he would play senior tennis tournaments, he would do the same thing. People thought it was an act. It wasn't an act.
No.
It was like who he was. But it's, you know, it's part of his authenticity. But look, it's one of the, I obviously love this sport. And one of the reasons I love the sport is because you have these amazing characters, and they're not wearing helmets, and they're not on a team. Like, you get them in their full glory to watch them. And I think it's one of the things that makes the sport so compelling is the personalities and the matchups and the fact that you get to see it all right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, McEnroe's probably my all-time favorite athlete, and Serena, in terms of that sport in this century, was my favorite to watch, and personalities have a lot to do with it. All right, you mentioned, you know, 2 years ago there were Zooms that started at 10 and would go until 1 or 2 in the morning. Do you guys wish that's what the city council was doing right now to get this deal understood and voted on?
Oh, Kevin, I want to get into the politics of it and what's happening there. And obviously there's lots of people talking about that and pontificating. I think the team's done an amazing case laying out why this makes a ton of sense for the city. You have not heard virtually any member of the city council saying they don't want this to happen. I believe the right outcome's going to end up happening here.
Was it a productive night the other night at dinner in Georgetown?
I don't know what you're talking about, Kevin.
Well, you know, this is a big topic, obviously. And it's a big topic because this is what everybody wants. You want it. You just said the city council wants it. The mayor wants it.
Yeah.
The recent polling indicated that, you know, the city's residents, of which you're one and I'm one, want it, which is unusual, by the way, because typically, you know, any tax dollars going to a stadium is not, you know, a majority opinion in terms of approval. So your best guess right now, two-part question, does it get done and by when?
I think this gets done. When? I think it needs to happen. It needs to happen sooner than later. It does. But I think it ends up getting done, and I think that's what everyone's marching towards. And we talked about whether it was the Commanders process or when I bought the tennis tournament and stopped it from moving out of town or any of the other things like this. These things are all a process. They have their ups and downs. But most of the time when there's a will, the right outcome happens, and I believe that's what's going to happen here.
You said you hope it's sooner rather than later. Is there a point where it becomes too late?
I mean, eventually there's a time when it comes too late, but I'm not in a position to talk about dates or anything. We have our team, you know, who talks about that stuff, and they have their strategy that they're executing, but working collaboratively with the government to try to get this done in a way that everyone feels good about. I mean, that's really what everyone's trying to do. Everyone's trying to get this done in a way that everyone feels good about.
All right, let's finish it up with one more, and it's one of your favorites. Actually, it's not. I'm not going to ask you about the name today, but I am going to ask you about uniforms because the team, and you know how important this stuff is to the majority of fans, both past and present, you know, name, branding, uniforms, etc. But the team, if you didn't see it, Mark, earlier, put out a tweet saying new alternates, as in alternate uniforms, to be unveiled in 1 week. So are you willing to give us a hint as to what we might see a week from today?
No.
just one thing. Because
I honestly can't. And I'm not even, I wish I was going to be in the country, but I'm going over to Wimbledon to try to round up our last players and make sure everyone's feeling excited to come to D.C. So I'm going to be following it from afar. But, you know, one of the things, well, one of it's more than one, the thing that I feel the best about, Kevin, for this franchise is the leadership that's been put in place. I give Josh a lot of credit for really spearheading the recruiting of Adam and Dan Quinn on the field and now Mark Klaus as our CEO. And people probably have, you know, the CEO is a little bit more behind the scenes, but, and he, you know, he only started at the beginning of the year, but this guy's incredible, and he's a brand guy. The reason I bring it up, he's a brand guy. He ran Campbell's Soup. He ran lots and lots of some of the best consumer brands in the world. He fully understands brands and customers, and I think our fans are going to be so thrilled to see what happens over the coming years with our brand and how we relate to our fans. And we couldn't have picked a better leader than Mark to lead that and lead the team.
Well, for him and for Josh, because I know he's said this or he's certainly implied this in the past, that, you know, what you do with respect to sort of the branding of the team will, you know, pay homage to the past. It will, you know, certainly... that the history and the tradition of the team, you guys recognize how important that is to everybody, and it's important to you guys too. So is whatever, you know, Mark and others are planning, is it something that you can at least say ties in to the past?
I honestly, Kevin, can't. I cannot talk about it at all. But we know how much this stuff means to people. And we are so focused on rebuilding our connection between our fan base and this franchise. I think we've come a long way in 2 years, and I think in the coming years it's just going to continue to grow and build.
Thank you for doing this. As always, have a good trip over there, and congrats on the field so far, and I can't wait to see what the additional announcements are before it happens. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. Look forward to seeing you there, Kevin. Hopefully everyone in our community comes out. If you love tennis, you'll love it. And if you just love a fun night out in the summer, come out and check out the tournament. I appreciate you, Kevin. Thanks.
That was Mark Guyon. Appreciate him, too, spending time with me yesterday. He is off to Wimbledon. And we'll see the uniform a week from yesterday, the alternate uniform. I think I can certainly wait. I know some of you can't. I'm fine waiting until Wednesday. He was not going to tell us exactly what it looked like, obviously. All right. I know what I want to finish up the show with, and we'll do that when we come back. But Marcus Mariota was interviewed yesterday in Hawaii and explained why he decided to re-sign with Washington and come back in 2025. I'll tell you what he said when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, last night, DeAndre Ayton signed a 2-year deal with the Los Angeles Lakers, and as well in Los Angeles, Clayton Kershaw notched his 3,000th strikeout last night against the Chicago White Sox. He becomes the fourth left-handed pitcher to reach that milestone in the Nats. Split yesterday's doubleheader with the Detroit Tigers. The first game, a disaster right off the jump, with the Nats down 10 runs after just 4 innings. And the second game, Nats showed a little bit of life late in the 8th inning, tallying 6 runs and giving them the 9-4 lead to close out the game. Tonight, They close out the series against the Detroit Tigers. First pitch at 6:45 on the Fan, Nats on Deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Marcus Mariota was at a golf tournament last week in Hawaii and was interviewed by Spectrum News. And he was asked a couple of questions about re-signing in Washington. Remember, he agreed to a one-year, $8 million deal to once again come back and back up Jaden Daniels. He said about returning to Washington, quote, "For me, it was one of those things hard to pass up, and you want to go somewhere where you're wanted. And they were very adamant that they wanted me back for another year. I love Coach DQ and just Cliff and the offense, and for me, it was like a no-brainer. To stand here 11 years in, very, very few people get an opportunity to do that. So I'm thankful every day, and the ability to go into work and have fun, cut it loose, and have such a great quarterback room that makes it so much better too. I'm just kind of having fun with it, rolling with the punches, whatever comes. If they need me, I'm ready to play. Otherwise, I'm here for Jay," as in Jaden Daniels, "and just making sure he's playing to his best of his ability." Mariota said that the franchise's resurgence followed, you know, with this schedule where they're going to be playing a bunch of primetime games. And he said, quote, "I was very surprised at how big the fan base is. People had mentioned to me when I was going to sign there last year, it was kind of a sleeping giant of a fan base. They had such a great run in the 70s and 80s where teams or people across the country had really followed. the Washington Commanders. Well, not really the Commanders, but Washington. Then you kind of went through this run that we did, and toward the end of the year, you start to see kind of how that fan base loves the team. And being in that area, the DMV, like, it's cool. It's got, like, what people talk about. It's football, and they love it there. And I'm excited to see kind of what the turnout looks like, especially with our new owner and the kind of things they're doing with the franchise and the organization. With respect to Jaden Daniels, he said, quote, "The sky's the limit for Jaden. It was really unique for me because I felt like I was kind of reliving my career in a sense, where I was trying to help guide him through this in ways where maybe I made a mistake or where I could have been better. So it's kind of like reliving that all over again. That's the experience that was really fun for me. It was actually really rewarding. And to have someone like Jay, who's just an unbelievable dude off the field, too," closed quote. Marcus Mariota's had an interesting couple of years. The Atlanta ending was not pleasant. The year in Philadelphia where he, you know, had major, you know, he described it as anxiety and the yips, thought his career was over, and then this sort of, you know, landed in his lap and has turned out to be a great thing. And we were talking for so much of the show today about Jaden Daniels and the support he got in the situation that he came into. Part of that was Mariota. Kingsbury was great for him. The coaching staff, Tavita Pritchard, David Blount. But Mariota was the one he probably mentioned unsolicited more than anybody else last year. All right, that is it for the day. That's it for the week. Happy July 4th. Back on Monday. Chris is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.